Welcome.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says that Israel is committing genocide against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. He's calling for the regime's trial. Ayatollah Khamenei says that Israel's bombardments of Gaza must stop immediately. He said that Muslims around the world are angry at the regime's aggression, warning that no one can stop Muslims and resistance groups if Israel continues crimes against Palestinians. The leader criticized indifference to the aggression in the besieged territory, saying that condemning the Israeli crimes is a collective responsibility. Ayatollah Khamenei also referred to Palestinians' Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. He said those living in Israeli settlements in the occupied territories aren't civilians, they're armed settlers. The leader said that the U.S. is responsible for the crimes perpetrated against Palestinians. Ayatollah Khamenei added that evidence showed that Washington is formulating Israel's current policy toward Palestinians in Gaza. The chairman of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, Masoud Chajireh, says that Israel is intentionally committing war crimes in Gaza.
There is no doubt that what is happening is war crime. Is war crime because of the fact of the collective punishment? Is war crime because it's motivated by a promotion of hate, and which sort of equates the Palestinians to animals and even indeed sub-animals. So really it's very clear that what is happening is a war crime, is not accidental, is designed to be war crime, and Netanyahu and others are very very easily and very publicly bragging about this in many ways. On one side, the leaders of the Western world and some others, including some Arab leaders, are doing a lip service to the Zionists, and they are keep on saying that they talk about the right of defense of the Israelis, when it seems that either Palestinians don't exist or they don't have any right whatsoever. They don't have right against illegal occupation. They don't have right for defending themselves. They don't have right to have water. They don't have right, any right whatsoever. And this is, unfortunately, is although it's very oppressive, but it's very clear. Even their own nation, even their own citizens are actually waking up to this abusive sort of concept being articulated by their leader. So yes, we have to go and say there has to be an end to this war crime, and it has to be now.
The Iranian foreign minister has issued yet another stern warning to Tel Aviv as the regime presses ahead with its deadly onslaught against Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip. Hossein Amir Abdullahian says that the resistance front won't allow Israel to do whatever it wants. He warned that any preemptive measure by the resistance front is possible in the coming hours. Amir Abdullahian added that new fronts will inevitably open up against Israel if it does not stop its war crimes. The top diplomat noted that the geographical map of the regime will change if the war spreads to other fronts. Now asked if Iran will join the war, Amir Abdullahian said that anything is possible and no one can watch the regime atrocities with indifference. He also censured the U.S. for urging self-restraint in the war on Gaza while backing the Israeli regime at the same time. A rising debt toll, flattened buildings, no food, no water and electricity. These are what Israel's nonstop attacks, shelling and full blockade have brought to the Gaza Strip. Fresh air raids have killed 107 Palestinians in Rafah and Khan Yunus, south of Gaza Strip. The attacks also took the life of a Palestinian journalist in the north, bringing to 16 the number of journalists killed by the regime's bombardment since October 7th. That was when Israel launched assaults against the besieged Palestinian territory following Palestinians' Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. Death toll from the Israeli aggression now standing at nearly 3,000. More than 1,000 children are among the victims. According to the Palestinian Health Ministry, 12,500 people have been injured. The humanitarian situation is getting worse in Gaza by the hour, with hospitals facing collapse. The World Health Organization is warning of an imminent catastrophe in Gaza.
As far as water, electricity and fuel are concerned, according to the UN, the Red Cross and the Red Crescent, after 24 hours, it will be a real catastrophe. No fuel, therefore no electricity for all the inhabitants of the Gaza Strip in general, and for the medical establishments in particular.
Now, the WHO official says if aid is not allowed into Gaza, patients will die. Al-Mandari added that overcrowding has paralyzed the hospitals. He said intensive care units, operating rooms, emergency services, and other wings are all on the brink of collapse. According to the UN Human Rights Chief, depriving civilians of goods essential for survival is banned under international law. The Hamas resistance movement has condemned the UN Security Council's rejection of a draft resolution urging a humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza. Hamas censured the opposition as a prelude to further Israeli crimes. The movement says that the opposing stance would embolden Tel Aviv to escalate what it called a genocidal war on more than 2 million Palestinians. It also slammed the Israeli onslaught on the besieged Gaza Strip as a blatant violation of international and humanitarian law. Now, this following a UNSC vote on a Russian-proposed resolution on the establishment of corridors for aiding and rescuing civilians in Gaza. The motion failed to be adopted with 4 votes against and 6 abstentions and only 5 in favor. The United Nations has warned Israel against the forcible transfer of civilians in Gaza, saying it would lead to a breach of international law. The UN Human Rights Office says that a legal temporary evacuation of civilians came with obligations on Israel which it has made no attempt to fulfill. The Geneva-based agency says Israel's order to evacuate, combined with the complete siege of Gaza, would amount to a forcible transfer of civilians. The term forcible transfer describes the forced relocation of civilian populations that's a crime against humanity punishable by the International Criminal Court. Now, Israel ordered residents of North Gaza to leave for the south while also bombing southern areas it had told Palestinians to flee to. The Lebanese security sources say that 4 people have been killed by Israeli shelling of a town in southern Lebanon. Now, this as tensions remain high in the region since October 8th, a day after a major Palestinian operation against Israel. The Israeli army has claimed it killed 4 people trying to enter Israel from Lebanon. In response, Hezbollah fighters targeted an Israeli tank in the Ramin barracks, leaving several casualties. The recent clashes between Israeli forces and Hezbollah fighters have left more than a dozen people dead. According to Lebanese authorities, Israel has used phosphorus bombs and targeted civilians in its attacks. Joining me now is Zakir Ahmed Mayed, an attorney, activist, and political analyst who is with us from Johannesburg. Welcome to the show, Zakir. So, as you just heard, this Russian initiative trying to do something for the people in Gaza and open up some kind of humanitarian corridor, it failed in the UN Security Council. And why are Islamic countries not doing anything like that? I mean, like Egypt could open the Rafah crossing.
I think it's part of the Israeli plan, and they've had the discussions with regards to the genocide that they exercising and implementing within the Gaza Strip, and they have threatened any country that tries to provide any aid to the Palestinians in any manner or form. This was very clear when the Rafah border was intentionally targeted at least 3 times. The gate of Rafah border was bombarded, and even Egyptian workers that were along the Gaza crossing, rather the Rafah crossing in Gaza, they were injured. They sent a message to Egypt. At the moment, the plan is to subject the entire Gazan population to extermination. This is not something that we are exaggerating. When you speak of the Gazan population as human animals, when you roll out a policy of no food, no water, no fuel, no medication, no internet service, in fact, this is what we are talking about. It's nothing more than a Holocaust concentration camp. And this comparison is not made by me. It's made by Professor Norman Finkelstein. He's just given a in-depth lecture about this. So I think what we are seeing today and the failure of the United Nations is an alliance by friends of Israel to subject the Palestinian people to genocide. There's no black and white on an issue of genocide. It's either a situation of right or wrong. It's not about whether or not you come from the West or you come from the East. Genocide is genocide. And this year is now falling into a racial connotation, if I may say, that the people of Gaza are viewed to be lesser human beings. It falls into the concepts of racism, and it therefore comes as no surprise that the white colonial settler nation of apartheid Israel is trying to exterminate the perceived African black or people of Gaza. This is a concept of slavery. We see it in the colonialism, and that is why we see this extermination taking place, because as colonialism occurred and as the thought was there, that these are subhuman, these are people that are soulless individuals that can be exterminated. That's what we're seeing, and sadly we're seeing it playing out on an international platform, that they are even denied basic humanitarian aid.
Mm-hmm. All right, Zakir, do you see any light at the end of the tunnel, any stop to this, even some suspension for a few days? Because people in Gaza are really in dire need of assistance of all kind. I mean, even food, water, apart from, you know, medical facilities, medication, all that. And still you see that the Prime Minister of the Israeli cabinet is talking about ground invasion. They've deployed their tanks. They're every day talking about that we're getting prepared to, you know, launch this ground invasion instead of, let's say, okay, let's stop this and let's negotiate a way out of this.
I don't foresee this coming to an end anytime soon. In fact, I think it's going to get much worse. The trajectory that has been set out by Israel is one of suicide, but along with their self-destruction, they are looking to eliminate the Palestinian population of Gaza as an act of revenge. That is basically what we are looking at today. The talks of the ground invasion is correct, but there was an interesting insight provided, and shocking insight, by Major General Reserve Tamer Hayman, who said that they are still trying to work out the military theory that will be implemented within Gaza. Therefore, the troops are ready for Israel, but they don't have a workable plan of how they're going to commit this genocide. Therefore, the interim plan is to punish the population of Gaza and to ensure that they suffer. We have seen Israel implement these types of policies before. We've seen it with the Tahiyya principle formulated by Major General Ghadi Eisenkot and Major General Ghiora Eilat. These are the same individuals that are advising the Zionist entity today. They are key individuals providing their insights into how to punish the Palestinians and try and weaken their resolve. Despite the suffering, despite the death, despite the continuous bombardment, the resistance has been able to strike Israel at its heart. We've just seen now recently, in a few hours ago, Tel Aviv was consistently hit. Numerous military bases were targeted. This is a massive, massive victory for the resistance. And the Gazan people, despite their suffering, support the resistance. They haven't broken the resolve of the Palestinians. And therefore, the goals and aims of this collective punishment and genocide has failed.
Mm-hmm. Let's not look at the division that you see within the Israeli cabinet and authorities. And also, if we go just further beyond, just yesterday we had Jews, you know, holding a rally in Washington, D.C. They're saying they don't want those crimes against Palestinians to be committed in their name. So, and Netanyahu, you know, he's also facing charges of corruption and some other charges back home. So, given what's been going on in Gaza and these latest genocidal war that Hamas is rightly alluding to, is Netanyahu benefiting from this? Because, you know, he's much hated by many Israelis inside and outside of Israel.
Netanyahu right now is fighting for his life. In fact, there is a massive development that has taken place within the Israeli military establishment and security establishment. They have admitted that they have no trust and faith in their own intelligence services any longer. So this takes into its scope the Mossad as well as the Shin Bet, because they were unable to provide significant intelligence and a warning before the 7th of October 2023. Therefore, there's a major crisis that is taking place within Israel, and you see this division amongst themselves. This is also perpetuating itself in the manner in which numerous military commentators are referring to ministers such as Itamar Ben-Gvir and Bezalel Smotrich as net liabilities, individuals that are worth nothing more than just issuing firearm permits, etc., to settlers, as they're referring to Itamar Ben-Gvir. So there is division within the camp. The psyche of the Zionist entity has been severely shaken and shattered. They are referring to this as worse than Yom Kippur. They have been completely destroyed. The fact that some of the elite soldiers were obliterated in the attack by the resistance is significant, and this would definitely create a division within the camp. In terms of Netanyahu, he's fighting for his life. There's no way that he can survive this. In fact, even if he produces some degree of small or minor victory, or even launches the ground attack, the cost of same is one that would be fatal to Netanyahu. Right now, he's just trying to keep himself from going to jail. Before, he was trying to push an agenda that was not accepted by most of his population. We saw all the protests, and now he's even in a worse position simply because he failed to protect the Israeli regime and establishment, and he's at the helm whilst the ship is sinking. And this is what we are seeing today.
Okay, thank you so much, Zakir Ahmed Mayat, attorney, activist, and political analyst, who joined me from Johannesburg. Okay, that's it for now.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید، ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به تخت اعلی.
In the path of the Imam.
In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. As a reminder, in a couple of episodes, we made you familiar with the views of John Foran, American professor of sociology from California University, on the character of the greatest leader of the past centuries, Imam Khomeini. It was said that Foran has carried out a lot of research about the Iranian history and the Islamic Revolution. You had his comparison of this revolution with the constitutionalist movements and the nationalization of oil industry, the two great events of the preceding century in Iran. Today, we are going to deal with his other views on Imam Khomeini and his unmatched revolution. John Foran says that nearly all notable researchers of Iran's history are of the opinion that the Islamic Revolution was the outcome of class coalition. He stresses that social forces active in the revolution had built up a civil and popular coalition. He explains that Imam Khomeini powerfully managed to unite every stratum and class around a single cause, namely Islam. This Western thinker writes that workers and businessmen took part in the revolution alongside the masses. They played a significant role in the ceremonies held for 40th of Martyrs of January, February, March, and May of 1978. Thus, they encouraged hundreds of thousands of fresh forces to join the ranks of a struggle against the despotic regime. The core of this great movement, however, was formed by the clergy and seminary students who were almost unanimously supporting the imam. The American researcher also maintains that writers, poets, journalists, lawyers, teachers, and students were the pioneers of the Islamic Revolution who would awaken the masses here and there. Students were active in universities demanding lawful freedoms in various spheres of life and society. They participated in demonstrations and strikes actively, and many of them were arrested and tortured by the agents of the regime's notorious and ruthless intelligence agency, SAVAK. The personnel of different ministries, factories, and offices helped reinforce the strikes and demonstrations to paralyze many sections of the regime's already bankrupt economy. Dear listeners, although the American researcher John Foran has tried to highlight the role of the so-called national religious groups in the process of the Islamic Revolution, he has failed to understand the reality that most of the so-called intellectuals had never been among the masses of people and the poor and low-income strata, as they often led a luxurious life in their ivory towers. In view of this, the majority of this group pursued their own demands and thought that they could reach gains in the aftermath of the victory of the Islamic Revolution. As a matter of fact, many of these people were affiliated to either the West or the East, and alien from the pristine Islamic teachings which Imam Khomeini and the high majority of the Iranian nation pursued. The imam had several times said that the main supporters of the revolution were the workers and the barefooted people who had become fed up with the dictatorial policies of the regime and the dominance of the U.S. in every domain in the country. Foran falsely believes that workers and low-income classes backed the imam only for political reasons. while people unanimously chanted their support for Imam Khomeini due to his firm support of Islam and his uncompromising spirit vis-à-vis the U.S. as the absolute symbol of arrogance and enmity of God in the contemporary era. Like many Western thinkers and observers, Foran tries to link the Islamic Revolution with economic problems and poverty to conclude that the greatest revolution of the past centuries took place only due to empty stomachs. Foran fails to realize the people's unprecedented love to their leader, Imam Khomeini, who was the embodiment of all Islamic and divine values. The Iranian people could see the virtues of the divine prophets and infallible imams in the person of Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini was the dream of every free-spirited person that had come true. This Western University professor has also failed to understand the lofty values of Islam and the unending capacity of religion to bring the masses to the scene by a divine leader. In short, Foran has tried to portray the Islamic Revolution through his spectacles, which is dominated by Western take of events. He and thinkers like him are unable to realize the lofty value of a struggle with bare hands against armed to the teeth forces. Most of the Western thinkers don't understand or don't like to understand that Muslims prefer Islam and the rule of Islamic values to everything, no matter what the price. Restricting such lofty values and ideals to the mean materialistic goals is very unfair.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This week has been a difficult week for us all. On a global level, the world once again witnessed the tragedy, which is actually not as surprising as far as the situation in Palestine and Israel is concerned. We as human beings, of course, we are horrified by the loss of civilian lives on both sides. There is no issue about that. As the conflict continues, the number of casualties are going to increase. It will go much, much higher. On the side of the response from Israel, it's an ongoing issue. The numbers are going to, unfortunately, increase. We have about, 1,600 people killed as far as the Gaza situation is concerned. One-third of them were children. You have about 600 people who were wounded among the Palestinians. And as of yesterday, 6,000 bombs were dropped on Gaza. And, the land invasion is still being planned. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to bring about some change there. If you look at the UN reports, Israeli bombing has destroyed 11 mosques. 90 schools have been damaged. And as far as the buildings and residential buildings and houses are concerned, it reaches to more than 2,000, you know, housing units. And this has resulted in 280,000 Palestinians who have become homeless. This is still going on. The numbers will increase. The tragedy is going to become even worse. But the biggest casualty in such a conflict is the truth. And that's what I would like to focus on, on that issue. There's quite a lot to say, but we'll leave some other things for next week. The Western leaders are only looking at the present conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And they are knowingly ignoring the root cause of the conflict. They just look in isolation, this happened, you know, this is the criminal, this is the victim, and that's the end of the story. They don't realize that the root cause of this is actually decades of occupation, especially when it comes to Gaza, 17 years of full blockade from land and sea and air. And, you know, the world is becoming blind and deaf to the suffering of the Palestinians. And in that situation, what would the Palestinians, what are they supposed to do? You know, I was listening to one of the interviews by the former spokesman of the Palestinian government, and he made a very interesting remark. He said, you know, what do we do? If we resist militarily, we become terrorists. If we resist by words, then we are called provocateurs. You are inciting people towards violence. And what is happening? Look at the situation in the West Bank now, which is governed by PLO or, you know, Palestinian administration. They recognized Israel 30 years ago in Oslo Accord. 30 years is not a short time, you know, spent there. But what happened? What was the result? Nothing has happened. Not an inch of movement towards that agreement as far as the rights of the Palestinians are concerned. You know, the numbers that we have from him in this interview is very interesting. He says during that time, 20 communities were evicted in the West Bank. We are not even talking about Gaza. West Bank, where the PLO is in charge and they recognize Israel. Yet 20 communities were evicted, villages, and new Israeli settlements are coming up every day. And everybody knows, including Canada, if you go to the foreign ministry website here, you will see it says, you know, these settlements are against the international law. So the website has that. But not the statements from our prime minister or foreign minister. You know, and this has ended up in a situation where if you look at the map of the West Bank now, you had 224 ghettos of the Palestinians, which are all separated from one another. So what kind of a, you know, two-state solution are you talking about? Because even the West Bank is now, you know, being divided into, you know, ghettos there for the Palestinians. At the moment, about 5,300 Palestinians, as far as the West Bank is concerned, are in jail. And 1,260 of them are in jail while they have not been even charged. They don't even know what is their crime. They don't have access to a lawyer, and they are just being, you know, jailed and kept that according to the provision that the Israeli government has of administrative detention. Means if the local administrative police or military realize that, you know, we have a problem with this person or we have suspicions about him, even if there is no proof, we'll just detain him. And so, you know, this is where the issue comes up that, you know, what are they supposed to do? The root cause is not being discussed, neither in the political circles nor in the media. some of these very brave, you know, spokesmen from the Palestinian side, in some of two or three interviews in BBC as well as CNN, they have been very bold and very forceful in presenting their side. But the reporter would again and again go, let us talk about what is going on now. They said, well, this is the end result of so many things which happened for so many decades. When the occupier actually looks at Palestinians and does not even consider them to be human beings, what do you expect there? If you look at the statement of the Israeli Defense Minister, Minister Gallant, he said, I have ordered a complete siege on the Gaza Strip. There will be no electricity, no food, no fuel. Everything is closed. We are fighting human animals. And he's describing Palestinians there as human animals. And we are acting accordingly. One interpretation would be that they are going down to that level. You know, the term they are using. And this is where we see that even the UN Human Rights Chief, Volker Turk, has denounced Israel's, you know, move as far as putting Gaza Strip under this absolute, you know, siege as far as electricity, food, and fuel is concerned, that this is prohibited under international law. But this is not the only law that which is being violated there. Everything, you know, they do there, you know, the powers in the West just look at the other side. And this is where we have to realize that it's not just an incident which is happening now in vacuum. There is a history behind it. And you cannot ignore that when you look at this current situation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten the appearance of the Imam of the time to bring global peace, inshallah.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. I saw those rockets and bombs shining in the sky, like drops of rain in the sun's light, taking away everyone dear to my heart, destroying my dreams in a blink of an eye. What happened to our human rights? What happened to the sanctity of life? Still alive.
Think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
Gaza is edging ever closer to a humanitarian catastrophe with millions of Palestinians with nowhere to go. The Islamic Republic of Iran has asked China to intervene to stop the brutal Israeli bombardment of the Gaza Strip. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian has called on China to intervene to put an end to the ongoing carnage in the Gaza Strip, where Israel is carrying out incessant attacks against the civilian population living in the enclave. In a phone call with China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi on Sunday, 15th of October, Hossein Amir Abdollahian said, "There is a need for the United Nations to assume its responsibilities with regards to international peace and security amid the ongoing conflict in Palestine." However, he asked China to use its diplomatic capacity to stop the Israeli regime from attacking Palestinian civilians in Gaza. The foreign minister described the collective punishment imposed by the Israelis on the Palestinians in Gaza as unacceptable, whilst reiterating the need for setting up humanitarian corridors to deliver aid to the people of the enclave. The Iranian foreign minister has warned that the Islamic Republic of Iran will not remain a bystander if the Israeli occupying regime presses ahead with its savagery against Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip. Hossein Amir Abdollahian warned that there would be no guarantee that the conflict in Gaza would not spiral out of control if the criminal attacks against the civilians in Gaza did not stop. The phone call between Amir Abdollahian and Wang Yi came just after Iran's top diplomat returned from a tour of Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and Qatar. Amir Abdollahian said after meeting leaders of the anti-Israeli resistance front during his regional tour that the conflict in Gaza would spread to other areas and other countries if the Israeli regime does not stop its aggression against the Palestinians. More than 2,450 people have been killed in the 9 days of Israeli airstrikes and shelling against the Gaza Strip, a besieged enclave on the Mediterranean Sea, which is home to some 2.3 million Palestinians. The attacks, which have left nearly 10,000 people injured, started last week after the Palestinian resistance group Hamas, which is based in Gaza, launched a multi-pronged attack on occupied territories to retaliate against Israeli assaults on Palestinians. Also, the Iranian president, Ebrahim Raisi, says Israel's actions against Palestinians echo the crimes perpetrated by the Nazis during the Second World War, warning that the dimensions of the war will broaden if the Israeli regime persists with its attacks. President Ebrahim Raisi, in a phone call with French President Emmanuel Macron on Sunday, 15th of October, said, "If the Zionist regime seeks to pay for its defeat through the continuation of these crimes against Palestinians, the dimensions of the developments will expand. Western countries and international organizations shoulder responsibility in addressing the ongoing crimes of the Israeli regime against Palestinians of the Gaza Strip." The Iranian president stressed the necessity of an immediate halt to the bombardment of the residential areas in Gaza, lifting of the blockade on Gaza, and providing essential supplies like water, electricity, fuel, and basic items to the besieged Gaza City, in addition to respecting the rights of the Palestinians. The Iranian president emphasized that those measures are necessary to prevent the spread of the crisis to other regions. President Ebrahim Raisi strongly condemned the Israeli regime's criminal attacks and expressed deep concern for the people of the Gaza Strip, citing 7 decades of oppression, discrimination, injustice, and occupation of Palestinian territories by the Zionist regime. China's Global Times has also covered the same story. The humanitarian crisis has been further aggravated in the Gaza Strip over the weekend, with Israel further pressing on Sunday, 15th of October, with preparations for a ground offensive after having ordered more than 1 million residents of Gaza to evacuate from the northern part of the territory. There have been growing calls for protecting civilians and acting in line with the international laws amid the escalating Israeli-Palestinian tensions. Among them, China said Israel's actions go far beyond self-defense, urging it to avoid collective punishment of the people of Gaza. The Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi had a telephone conversation with the Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian on Sunday, 15th of October. During the phone call, Wang Yi said the immediate priority is to de-escalate the situation and prevent a severe humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip, which could result in more innocent civilian casualties and further damage to regional peace. The exercise of the right to self-defense should comply with international laws and international humanitarian laws, including ensuring the safety of civilians and detained individuals. The Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi said responding to violence with violence will only cause greater harm and bring about a more serious crisis. In his phone call with the Saudi Foreign Minister, Prince Faisal bin Farhan Al Saud on Saturday, 14th of October, the Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi said China opposes and condemns all acts that harm civilians, as they violate basic human conscience and the fundamental principles of international law. The Israeli regime's actions go far beyond the scope of self-defense. Israel should heed the calls of the international community and the United Nations Secretary General and avoid collective punishment of the people of Gaza, the Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi emphasized. Wang Yi also had a phone conversation about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict with his Turkish counterpart, Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan. Israel has warned around 1.1 million Gazans living in the north of the Palestinian territory to flee to the south ahead of a ground incursion, which the Israeli military has indicated will focus on Gaza City. Such warning has sparked a huge opposition from the global community. The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned on Friday that the relocation of Gaza residents from the north to the south is extremely dangerous, and in some cases, simply not possible. In a press conference following his visit to China, the European Union Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell called Israel's order something impossible, saying that the European Union certainly defends the right of the Israeli regime to defend itself, but there is a limit, and that limit is international law. Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story. In the Gaza Strip, doctors are warning about a humanitarian catastrophe. With no aid in sight, medical staff are sounding alarm bells over impending infectious disease outbreak as hospitals are overwhelmed and overcrowded and bodies pile up on the streets. After 9 days of relentless Israeli bombardment, the humanitarian situation in the Gaza Strip is rapidly deteriorating. Hospitals in the northern part of the besieged enclave have received evacuation orders ahead of a looming ground offensive by the Israeli army, while medical facilities throughout the densely populated territory are overwhelmed by wounded patients and sheltering residents. Conditions are particularly dire at Shifa Hospital, the largest medical complex in Gaza City, where Palestinian doctors warn of an impending infectious disease outbreak due to overcrowding. There are thousands, if not tens of thousands, of people who have flocked to the Shifa Hospital, surgeon Ghassan Abu Sitta told Al Jazeera television on Saturday, 14th of October. Dr. Ghassan Abu Sitter said, "They are sleeping on the ground in the corridors between patients' beds. People are absolutely terrified. They think this is the safest place in Gaza, and everything around them confirms that. Unless there is a respite, there is going to be a public health catastrophe at Shifa Hospital." As Israeli bombs rain down on Gaza, bodies are piling up and people are afraid to bury their dead. The situation is so bad that ice cream trucks are now being used to store dead bodies, as hospital morgues are full due to the rising death toll.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghodde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترك همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
In this program, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a part of a speech delivered by Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the veterans from the Sacred Defense and the Resistance Field. This meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on September 20, 2023, inaugurating Sacred Defense Week. I have often visited the mothers of martyrs, who, for example, had one or two children who were martyred. They would say that even if they had had 10 children, they would have been prepared to offer them as martyrs. They were honest. They were saying this in truth. Now, in this exhibition here, they showed us a few instances. There was a woman who was the mother of 9 martyrs. Is this a joke? A mother of 9 martyrs or 8 martyrs? Can you even imagine such a thing? But this truly happened. Thank you.
اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
I myself saw a family in Kurdistan where seven people from one family, what comes to my mind now is that there were seven people, were all martyred. The first time I saw them, their mother was alive and their father was also alive. Later on, their father passed away. Seven martyrs from one family. What else but a religious factor can cause such a thing? This is the factor of religion. These people were the defenders. The front lines of our battlefield were mihrabs, the place in front of the mosque where the prayer leader leads the communal prayer of worship. In the middle of the night, a young man, a commander, or someone who was not a commander, a company, or a battalion, would sit down, shed tears, cry, and pray. This did not happen in just one, 2 or 10 cases. This was happening in all the various areas of the front. Where in the world, in which war, in which military conflict, has such a situation ever been seen? Where has there been this passion for martyrdom, these invocations, such attentiveness to Almighty God, a desire for martyrdom and such things? There was also the general presence of the nation. In other words, the battlefield did not just consist of the area where there was a conflict taking place. Areas behind the fronts were also part of the battlefront, like the places from where the forces were being supplied.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me. Through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. The supplication on Wednesdays.
worshipping the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rite.